I'm Shannon.
And I'm Rami. And this is Workplace Hugs, where we talk about interesting things we've read, learned, or experienced to help us all expand our life toolkit with a whole bunch of empathy, without a whole new degree. Sorry, I got mixed up there. I was not planning to do this intro, but before this, before we started recording, Shannon convinced me to do this. And if you would like to understand how that may have been possible, I think this episode is for you.
Great. I love that. I love that we tell lies in the intros now. You guys, Rami always intros the episode whenever I'm the one leading it. Okay, so this week we're talking about how to persuade people. So I was noticing a pattern in my client engagements. This is probably a year ago now, where pretty much like all of my corporate sponsored clients. So sometimes the companies will pay for the client's coaching, you know, if they're like wanting them to have a developmental opportunity or whatever. Anyways, so I was noticing a theme that all of them had this one of the same behavioral goals in their coaching plans, which was like, I need to learn how to influence without authority more. I think that's a common goal that people have when they're trying to like make that jump in their careers from, well, frankly, like at like for sure at individual contributor level, but I think like it's, it becomes increasingly more important that you have this skill when you're shifting from like senior manager into director roles or above. So I was having a really interesting coaching session one day with a client who was just like, but like, how the heck do I actually do this? Like, can't it just be enough for me to just like be good at my job? And the answer is no. Like, when you get to a certain level, no, it's not enough for you to just be good at your job. You do need to learn how to persuade people like to your line of thinking or whatnot. And it doesn't have to be as like gross or shitty or manipulative as I think we make it out to be sometimes. So I'm going to walk through. Oh, go ahead, Rami.
Just to clarify, influencing without authority does not mean that you don't have authority. It just means you don't have authority over the people that you are trying to influence.
Correct. Yeah. And honestly, you can even be struggling to influence the people that you do have authority over. Like, I have had tough employees that it was like, gosh, how do I persuade them that it's a good idea that we work on this thing? You know, so it's people for sure that you don't have authority over. Like, how do you influence your cross-functional team partners? How do you influence your leader to think that something you want to do is a good idea? And also, it can be with people that you even have authority over that you're struggling with. Okay. So in my coaching work, I was noticing a couple of themes that kept coming up for clients of like, oh, this is where the rub comes in and the thing that we need to fix on. So I'm going to go through those four today because I hope it helps you figure out like, oh, this is where I'm need to take a step back and do deeper work to be more effective when I'm trying to persuade someone. So the first step tip is to get clear on who your stakeholders are. And I really do think that this needs to happen first. For some of you, this may be like, well, Captain Obvious, duh. But for some people, this was like, oh, crap, I forget about that part. And I just like try to start going to town on the project or the initiative that I'm trying to get across the line. And I'm not really thoughtful about who all might have a stake in this thing that I'm trying to do right now, and being careful about like making sure that I'm in relationship with them, I'm connecting with them, I'm getting their input. So get clear on who your stakeholder groups are, whose buy-in you actually need, and make sure that you know what they care about right now.
What I would say is a piece of advice to all of you guys: if this can be helpful to you right now, I would take notes. We'll recap the steps, but
yeah.
What would be really good for you is like to have this in a note or a document of some sort, and then you can pull it out and you go, okay, cool. Let me write these down on a piece of paper. Step one, get clear on who my stakeholders are. Write it down.
Yeah.
And then take like some time away from a digital device to like actually go through the four steps to give you a very clear line of sight and actionable way to go ahead and persuade this group or this individual.
Yep. And part of getting clear on who your stakeholders all are, to me, is also knowing what they care about. So asking yourself that question of like, do I know what they care about right now? Am I clear on that? Like, don't make assumptions. Like, actually make sure that you know that. Then step two is to align to a shared purpose. So can you tie the thing that you are trying to accomplish, the thing that you're trying to persuade them to do, back to something that they themselves care about. And if
go ahead. I was going to say, I think this one is really important because, one, if you don't know what they care about, I think it's really easy to ask them, like, what are your priorities right now? Anybody you ask in a leadership role should be able to say, okay, these are my priorities. You go, okay, cool. That's what their priorities are. Now, how maybe mine isn't directly aligned to that, but mine and theirs fit within like a broader goal above that. And then we can bring it all together and they'll feel like they're getting their goal accomplished. You will get your goal accomplished while all trying to do exactly what it is that you're persuading them to do.
Yes. And Rami already spoke to it, but my like second point that I wanted to make within aligning to shared purpose is if you really feel like at the end of the day, you don't care about the same thing, then I would encourage you, like maybe you're operating at 30,000 feet. Okay, great. You got to go up to 40. You got to go up to 50. You got to go up to 60,000 feet then to find a higher level goal that you do both care about, that this thing that you want them to do impacts, you know? So like maybe they're really have a detailed objective around like improving service levels or something like that. And you're like, I can't tie it back to that, but I can tie it back to like delivering a great customer experience. Great. Level up to that 60,000 foot view of like, I know we both really care about delivering a great customer experience. That's why I think it's important that we do XYZ project thing that I'm trying to bring across the line. Does that make sense?
To me, it does.
Okay, great. Check. Audience of one. So the third step is to develop a clear narrative, right? So you know who your stakeholders are. You've named a clear purpose that you share. Now you develop your narrative a little bit. Step one within this process is to start with why. I'm going to go back to Rami's favorite person, Simon Sinek. I don't know how you say his last name. Anyways, our good friend Simon, in episode 26, if you want to hear why, it's important to start with why. But in essence, when you're developing your clear narrative, you start with why this matters, then you move into how it will positively impact what matters, then what specifically you're asking of them. Why, how, what? Not the other way around. I see that a lot of times in clients. They want to start with like, what, how, then why. Mm-mm. Doesn't work. Got to tie to the why.
You got to like get them excited about the thing and like focused that there's like a problem, the like why.
Mm-hmm.
Build the problem. I mean, they always say the best sell is when you come into someone and they had no idea they wanted something, but by the time you get through your why, they're like, oh, we have a big problem, we need to fix that. And then you get into the how, it'll have that positive impact. And then you get into, here's what I'm selling you.
Yes.
And then if you can build that, You're gonna sell a lot of stuff.
Yep.
Or persuade a lot of people.
Okay, so then the last step is to play chess, not whack-a-mole. Like, let's make sure you're playing the right game here. Here's what I mean by this. So, of course, another part of the persuasion process is facing down the objections that people have. At least that's what we called it in my college sales course. Yes, you guys, I took courses about sales in college. There was a major around that. Can you believe it?
Wasn't your first job like being a salesperson?
Yeah.
Like an actual sales? Like,
yeah, my first.
I have a quota and I need to hit this.
Uh-huh. Yep. Sure was. But I don't love the energy of like facing down objections. You don't face down objections, okay? That's trying to play the game of whack-a-mole, right? Where you're like, oh, they popped up with another objective. Let me smash them down again and tell them why this is a great idea. No, no, no. I want you to visualize playing a different game with the people that you're trying to play. I want you to visualize playing the game of chess. We are not trying to win the argument, quote unquote, or at least like not initially, right? Ultimately, we want them to go our way, but we don't want it with that energy of like, I won. We want to keep the conversation going for however long it takes for them to eventually be persuaded, right? So winning isn't about winning the argument. Winning in this case is defined as keeping the chess game going. Losing is when they walk away from the conversation or the topic entirely and like fully decided that they're not going to go your way anymore, you know? So even if it's not like a yes right away, how do you keep the chess game going? You keep dancing with them through meaningful questions that can help you better execute tips 1 through 3. Like, if they're not aligned, I'm telling you right now, either there's a stakeholder that you're missing, there's a shared purpose that you haven't aligned to, or there's a narrative element that you're not quite hitting out of the park right now. So how do you keep asking questions related to those three things to help get them closer to ultimately being persuaded to your side of the game? Does that make sense?
Yes. Can I put this in other terms?
Please.
So I think what Shannon's saying here is let's not be reactive, but let's be proactive, right? The whack-a-mole would be a reactiveness existence, and then playing chess would be a very proactive, i.e. you're thinking 3-4 steps ahead. And so I think the goal here is as long as they're still talking to you and they're interested, you have a way to get through that door. As soon as they stop being interested and they close the door, well, then your idea or whatever you're trying to persuade them with will not happen.
Yes.
So to Shannon's point, I think it's very important to align and understand what they care about. Because if you come in, and I've had this happen to me, I come in thinking I know what they care about, and I go, hey, here's what you care about. And they go, oh no, we changed.
Uh-huh.
We don't care about that anymore.
Yep.
And you go, well, then steps 1 through 6 here, I need to throw out the window. And I need to understand what you care about so that I can realign to see if we have a shared purpose or elevate to have a shared purpose to actually get where we want to here. And so that's where I'd say, like, really, really, really make sure that you get that first part right in understanding who the stakeholders are and what they care about. If you get those two right, the rest, you'll at least be building a case and a narrative towards something you know that they're emotionally invested into, as opposed to guessing. Like, that's where I would say, like, you can guess at the rest. I would not guess at that first piece. If you get that first piece wrong, the door is closed. Like, that's it.
Well, if you get the first piece wrong, you're knocking on the wrong door, right? Like, you're like, quite literally, you're knocking on the wrong door. You're talking to the wrong people as your stakeholders. But I think, to my point in sharing this last one, is I'm thinking about clients who maybe they have more perfectionistic tendencies. They always want to get an A. They can't deal with, like, anything less than an A feels like an F. And I want people to think about persuasion as a long game, right? Like, it's okay, fine. Maybe you get a C, quote unquote, because you didn't persuade them in that first attempt. But how can you tell yourself, like, oh, my goal is just to keep the conversation going and gain more, not just like for the sake of keeping the conversation going, but to gain more information to make a better case next time. Like, and that's a win. So don't get down on yourself if it's not like, just like, don't tell yourself you're bad at persuading people because you didn't do it in your first attempt. I think similar to networking to a job, I was reading a fascinating book that we'll probably cover in an episode. They were talking about how you're going to have to talk to like three layers of people before you're going to get to the person that actually has a job for you, you know? And it's not to say, oh, I'm only going to talk to three people, but like, just imagine like concentric rings in a circle, you know? And I think the same might be true in persuasion. Like, you're going to have to go through a couple of rings to eventually get to the point where all the stars align and it's a time to persuade. I digress.
Well, I would just say, to Shannon's point here, part of persuasion is also like, nurturing a seed.
Yeah.
So it's like, plant the seed, water it. Maybe that's the first conversation you guys have.
Great.
Then come back, make sure it's got some sunlight, make sure you're bringing it up. And then at the point that it's ready to harvest, hopefully you've done enough nurturing that like you can knock it home, right? Like,
great metaphor. I think it's, love that metaphor.
It's making sure that it's not an instant thing. It's not going to be an instant thing, right? Like, maybe the stars align and you're bringing the right solution to something they really care about at that moment. But 9 times out of 10, it's going to be something that is going to take a lot of resources, which is why you're pitching this huge thing and you want to persuade them. And they need time to get alignment to that. Mm-hmm. But the more you nurture that idea within them and know that it continues to resonate within them, the better off you are when it's time to harvest and bring it home with a big deck.
Love it. Love that metaphor so much. Okay, so let's recap this a little bit. What are our four basic steps to persuading people? First, get clear on your stakeholders and what they care about. Second, find to and align to a shared purpose. Third, develop a clear narrative that goes in the order of why, how, what. Fourth, make sure you're playing chess, not whack-a-mole, or to use Rami's metaphor, it's going to take time. Plant the seeds, water the seeds, nurture the seeds, tend to the seeds, see what the seeds need. Do they need more water? Do they need more food? Until it's ready to be harvested. With that, we would love for you to connect with us on Instagram at Workplace Hugs or on LinkedIn. Or, surprise, we have an email account. This is just coming out of me in the moment. Hello. Shoot us a note. Email us. Let us know if this episode resonated with you. Let us know if this episode helped you finally like work your way through a persuasion problem that you've been having. We love to hear from you guys. With that.
Because we know, hold on, because yeah. We know you guys care about empathy and we care about empathy and we know that more empathy makes the world a better place. So let us know.
Yeah.
I just used my persuasion tactics on
with that, I've been Shannon.
I've been Rami, and this has been Workplace Hugs.